The sermon today is about the humiliation of Christ. We'll read from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God bless to us this portion of his word. And the sermon today is an easy sermon, but a very profound meaning for us, I believe. The humiliation of Christ. From all eternity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was equal in power and glory, in holiness, in wisdom, and he was surrounded by the glories of heaven. He was even the light of heaven. All the angels worshipped him and served him continuously. He was the great, glorious, supreme God over all. He was the Almighty, the All-Wise, the fountain of all truth and love and life. So in Philippians 2:6 we read, he, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Colossians 2:9 declares, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This great and glorious person became a baby, born of a young lady. For us, his birth was wonderful. God came to dwell among us, Emmanuel. The Savior of the world has come. And many people are rejoicing over the coming of Christ. This is wonderful. The angels rejoice. And many others all around the world are rejoicing that Jesus was born. But for Christ, this was a great humiliation. He was born of a woman. Born of one whom he had created. Born of a lady who was very exemplary in her life, but still a sinner, not perfect. He was born weak and completely dependent on his mother and on Joseph. He had to eat food to live. He had to talk. Oh, he couldn't talk. He couldn't read. He couldn't walk. He had to be cared for and protected every day, every hour. This glorious king had to experience hunger, pain, and sleep, just as we do. Moreover, even as a baby, King Herod hated him and tried to kill him. All of this was part of his humiliation And this is what he did for us. How would you like to take a lower state, like this, to be like a rabbit, or even an insect? It was a great come down for Christ to become a person, a human being. Even when he grew older, he was still weak, like all of us. He had to work. He had to obey the law which he had given. And when he began his public ministry, he was a servant of the crowds who came asking him to heal their sick and afflicted. He took the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. This Jesus Christ had a wonderful ministry as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He did many miracles and taught the wonderful Word of God. The people flocked to come to hear him. And one crowd of people stayed with him 3 days without food or water. He fed them all. People were amazed at his wisdom and his authority. Even the soldiers who were sent to arrest him declared, "No man ever spoke like this man." His Sermon on the Mount is revered all around the world. His miracles were amazing. We can't recount but just a few of them. In Jerusalem, a man who had been an invalid for 38 years lay there. He was a hopeless case. But Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." And immediately he was up and well and took up his bed and walked. In a desert place east of the Sea of Galilee, a man came out of the tombs. He was demon-possessed. No one could bind him, not even with chains. He spent the days naked, crying out and cutting himself with stones. He was hostile toward Jesus, saying, What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High?" Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Not only one spirit, but other spirits also came out of him and went into the herd of swine. And the swine ran down a steep hill into the lake and drowned. Actually, Jesus cast demons out of many people and even raised the dead. We might say the greatest miracles were the raising of the dead. There was this little girl, 12 years old, the daughter of Jairus, and she died. Jesus went there, and he said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately she arose and walked, and people were amazed. In Luke 7, we read that there was a widow at Nain, and her only son died, and they were carrying him out to the grave to bury him. And Jesus came along, and he said to him, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he sat up and began to speak. It was amazing. And even a more wonderful miracle, you know, is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. By the time Jesus got there, he had been in the tomb dead 4 days. And Jesus came and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, though he die, he shall live." And then a little later, he came to the tomb and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And many of the Jews saw these things and believed on Jesus. In fact, we often read in the Gospels that many believed on Jesus. Many were coming to him, even to the extent that there was no time for him to eat. Multitudes respected him and went with him wherever he went. Multitudes brought their sick people and he healed them. He healed the blind, the deaf, the lame, the palsied people, the lepers, cast out demons, and he healed many diseases. But the Jewish leaders were jealous and they hated him. You would think they would elect Jesus as the greatest prophet of the century. You would think that they might decorate him with a medal of honor, provide him with a house, invite him to dine with the high priest and other rulers. But the Jews were envious and plotted to kill Jesus. And in Lazarus' case, they not only wanted to kill Jesus, but they wanted to kill Lazarus too. They had a council, a great council of all their big shots, and made plans. And again, they hated Jesus and wanted to kill him. They said that Jesus deceives the people. With the truth of God, he is deceiving the people. And when he cast out demons, they said, he has a demon. This was about the worst thing they could say, because the Spirit in Jesus was the Holy Spirit. And this was an insult, not only to Jesus, but to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, this is unforgivable. When Jesus went to Nazareth, they didn't believe him. They tried to take him up on a big hill and kill him, throw him down and kill him. And when Jesus healed a man who was paralytic on the Sabbath day, they sought to kill him because he had healed on the Sabbath day. After Jesus taught them about true freedom, in John 8:59, they took up stones to throw at him. In John 10, we read that Jesus said, I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Then one of the most treacherous things happened. One of the disciples, Judas, made plans to betray Jesus. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. So when they heard it, they were glad, and they promised to give him money. Jesus was hated without a cause. He had done no evil. He had only done great miracles. He had given them the splendid message of the Word of God. How humiliating this was. How hard it must have been to bear. He did all this out of his great love and mercy, but they hated him. Would we be willing to suffer such hatred and insults to save anyone? Would we continue saving people when our life was in danger? Jesus did that. The last insults and humiliations were the worst. They grew worse and worse. The Lord's Supper was a very great time of intimate fellowship when Jesus told his disciples important things and prayed for him and for us and told them what was to come afterward. And then they went up to the Mount of Olives to pray. And what was coming was so terrible, so humiliating, so painful, that Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. There, in the Mount of Olives, came Judas with a band of soldiers and others. Judas runs up and betrays his Lord Jesus with a kiss. What a hypocritical piece of treachery that was. How horrible it must have been for Jesus, who was only the truth. He only spoke the truth with no hypocrisy whatsoever. With a kiss, he betrayed him. Then they arrested Jesus, tied him up, led him away, even though he had done nothing wrong. Have you ever been arrested? Have you ever had handcuffs put on you? I haven't. It's bad enough to get a parking ticket. Then the disciples forsook him and fled. Have you ever had people who were your friends forsake you? Friends? These men were more than his friends. They had been with him day and night for 3 years. They had all promised to die with him. But they all forsook him and fled. The first trial that the Jews had was at night. That was illegal. The whole court was against Jesus, and we could have no fair trial there. They sought false testimony against Jesus, but their testimony was contradictory and inadmissible. Did you ever suffer by hearing people tell lies about you? Plain lies right out openly. It must be very painful. Finally, the high priest asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus answered, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." That's in Mark 14:62. This was absolutely true. But they all condemned him to be worthy of death. Then they began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and say to him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" They were mocking him as a prophet. Did you ever have people spit on you or slap you in the face? Would you strike back? What would you do? They had no reason to treat Jesus this way. He was and is the Son of God. In the morning, they had a short mock trial and asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he answered, "It is as you say." So they led Jesus to Pilate, the Roman government, to tell him to crucify Jesus. They accused Jesus of many things, especially they claimed that he was a king and thus an enemy of Caesar. Pilate was somewhat skeptical. He kept asking Jesus. 3 times he questioned him. And he said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." 3 times Pilate examined Jesus, and 3 times he said, "I find no fault in him." The governor declared that Jesus was innocent. But there was a custom that Pilate should release one prisoner to them at the Passover. And the people began to ask Pilate to release someone. And Pilate said, "Should I release to you Jesus?" But the people shouted, "No, release Barabbas, a robber." When Pilate asked what he should do with Jesus, they cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." They insisted with loud voices, demanding that Jesus be crucified. So Pilate gave sentence that Jesus should be crucified. And this was another humiliating thing. Instead of being chosen, a robber was chosen in place of him. It was really insulting. But the humiliation of Jesus grows worse and worse. So Pilate, though Jesus was innocent, had him scourged. You know, the Roman scourge is very painful. Strips of leather with chunks of lead tied to them, forming the whip. And they cut deep wounds in the backs of those who were victims of this. Some did not even survive the 40 stripes. So Jesus' back was bleeding from that. And when Pilate's soldiers led him into the praetorium hall, they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They were ridiculing him as a king now, a prophet, now a king. Then they spit on him. They took the reed and struck him on the head. And then when they had mocked him, they took the robe off and put on his own clothes and led him away to be crucified. Would we ever endure such suffering for anybody? Jesus suffered all this for us. Jesus went out to the hill called Golgotha carrying the cross, but it seems that he could not carry it all the way, for the soldiers compelled Simon the Cyrene to bear the cross. At Golgotha, they pulled off Jesus' clothes and cast lots as to who would get what. And they nailed him to the cross. We can never comprehend the misery, the agony of being nailed to a cross and being hung there until we died. But Jesus submitted to this as our sacrifice for sin. Though he was completely free from any guilt, he bore the guilt for our sins, so we may be forgiven and accounted righteous in God's sight. Wasn't this enough humiliation for our Lord to suffer? Apparently those who hated him did not think so, for they kept on humiliating him. The people who passed by wagged their heads and said, "You who destroy the temple and build it up in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Now they're mocking him as a savior or as a priest. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" So they even bear testimony that he said, "I am the Son of God," and that he is the King of Israel, but they were mocking him. From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. The veil of the temple was torn in two. The ninth hour was about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "It is finished." And then a little later, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to the death of the cross." The man Jesus died on the cross. It is difficult for us to comprehend the eternal Son of God dying, and dying for our sins, and remaining under the power of death for a time. This was his complete humiliation. His saving work was finished. Then he rose on the third day. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him his name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We are deeply impressed with the depths of Christ's love for us. He was willing to go through all of this humiliation and this pain and all this suffering. How can we ever thank him enough? We simply can't thank him enough that he shows us that we should be willing to suffer and endure humiliation for his own sake. It is hard for us to be willing to suffer for Christ. But actually, Christians in China, in Islamic countries, in many other countries, are suffering ridicule, persecution, and even death for Christ now, in these days. The gospel of Christ, this message that we have been studying, teaches us also about the depravity of the human race. How could people like the scribes and Pharisees who knew the Old Testament be so hard-hearted as to try again and again to kill Jesus? How could they be so blind that they could not see the wonderful light of Christ, which he displayed in all his teaching and his miracles? How could the spiritual leaders of Israel be telling lies, slandering Jesus, getting false witnesses, and even mocking and ridiculing him? How could they rejoice that he was hanging on a cruel cross and even continue to insult him while he was hanging there? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Even we who know the Word of God may bring reproach on the name of Christ. Instead of glorifying him, we may turn people away from him, like the Jews did. Indifference towards Christ tells others that he is not important. We don't need him at all. We should not think that he is the Savior of the world. An inconsistent style of life, which practices religion but also cheats and deceives and breaks other laws, causes people to call Christians hypocrites. They say they're all hypocrites. To honor Christ, we must be like him. Failure to study the Word of God and pray leads to a worldly life which dishonors Christ again. And a lack of love for Christ leaves us unable to please him or witness for him. So what shall we do? Glorify him. Praise him. Glorify him with our words and with our witness. Glorify him with our works and our good example. Glorify him with our prayers, with our worship, with our giving. Glorify him in the morning, throughout the day. Glorify him at night. He is the glorious Lord. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So our life should be for the purpose of glorifying Christ. Make his name known. Tell that he is a wonderful Savior, that he is the only Savior of the world. Lead others to the church, to the Word of God, to Christ himself. This is what we should do. Just the opposite of what the Jews did. We should be the disciples of Christ which honor him and praise him and glorify him throughout our whole life. Let's pray. Our Father, we worship you. We worship your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for the great love, which is really incomprehensible to us, beyond our understanding, but true. And we thank you that you love us and that you love your church. Christ loves the church as his bride. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to live with the consciousness of this constant love, which is never taken away from the children of God. And help us to be full of praise and thanks to him. Help us to witness for him and tell others that Jesus is the King. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And when people say, don't pray in the name of Jesus, help us to be bold to pray in the name of Jesus. And we pray that you will help us to fight the good fight of faith, because there are always many adversaries. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.